Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human being, to the insan, gives the tawfiq, the opportunity and the ability to implement good deeds. And every human being tries that he does good deeds and big deeds, nice deeds, and however many more deeds we implement, Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with us. If we do more deeds, higher quantity, multitudes of deeds, then Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. This is our thought process, and this is good thinking with the tawfiq of Allah that Allah Ta'ala gives. A person thinks like this. But alongside this, we have to always be careful of something, which is that the little things, the small, so-called small deeds, we should also implement those small deeds. And small deeds, in this way, we should practice with the same desire and passion and conviction in the same way as we try to implement the big deeds or the deeds in high quantity. So when we practice deeds in high quantity, or we try to go towards the popular deeds or the big reward deeds, so if we do things maybe less in quantity, but do it regularly and with love and passion. And the reason for this is that, why does the difference come into our mind? Why don't we give the emphasis to practicing deeds correctly and regularly? And everything that comes our way, we think, okay Allah, we're going to go towards specific deeds, and we're going to do those regularly and a lot, so Allah Ta'ala will become pleased with us and He'll be happy with those deeds. And we'll disregard the common things that come across our way every day. For example, we'll have emphasis on faraid, on compulsory actions. We'll leave nafal, sunnah, we'll leave mustahab, because this becomes a habit for a person. We say, oh, it's mustahib, oh, it's sunnah, we don't have to do it, there's no reward, there's no sin if we leave it, or it's nafal. And we disregard those deeds, we neglect those deeds. So here we need to be careful, and not just a little bit careful, we need to be careful a lot, because we made our own rules and framework of life. So while we are practicing the deen, we have this sort of categories of reward in our head. But we need to think about sunnati alahi, inna allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. Think about Allah's power, His strength, and how He gives and distributes without any differentiation. So this is our standard. Allah Ta'ala says, I give without any restriction. I'm qadir, I'm the mutlaq, I am in control. Allah says that you have created your own framework of thinking based upon reward and categories. Allah says that you, as my servants, as my human beings, doesn't matter if a deed is so-called big or small, large or small, it doesn't. You don't know what reward you're going to get. Maybe the fard will be rejected, and maybe the sunnah, nawafil, voluntary actions will be accepted. Yeah. So we need to think like this. Allah says, I may not even look towards the so-called big deeds and pick up the nawafil that you practiced. So we need to think like this. A very precious way of thinking. Very precious way of life. Because Allah Ta'ala says that there's no law in front of me that dictates to me what I must do and not do, or accept and reject. We think, oh, you know, that this person's a sinner and he's going into Jahannam, he has no chance to succeed. We have these impressions, we have this prejudice that we cast upon the people. We see someone who's a muttaqi externally, a zahid, and he's praying, we say, oh, he's going to Jannah, he's Jannati. We say straight away, he's going to go to paradise. We say this, isn't it? We see someone externally who looks like he's a practicing Muslim, he's doing mujahidah, he reads a lot of Quran, and he does ibadat, worship, he wakes up in the night, we say he's a Jannati. And we see the other people who aren't practicing, and we say they are going into hellfire. If this is the case, then where does the rule, the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into play? Then no, we can't say this. We see someone who's not practicing, we say, oh, he's dirty, he's an alcoholic, he's a sinner, he doesn't pray. Look at him, he's lying down. 2 days ago, somebody was lying down, just 2 days ago, and he was lying down and he was drunk, and the ambulance hadn't even come, and people had seen, and he was sitting there, he was drunk, and he was maybe reciting the name of Allah as well, and people were walking past him and they were cursing him, oh, he's going to hellfire, oh, he's Jahannami. This is our basis, isn't it? Our framework of thinking. But this is wrong. Allah Ta'ala's basis, Allah Ta'ala's criteria is different. What guarantees there that my salah and my Quran, my deen will be accepted? But we, as I said, are prejudiced, and we create these precepts in our mind where we judge other people, ourselves and people around us. This is dangerous. We need to eliminate this. This is not the case, because we're challenging Allah Ta'ala's control. We're challenging Allah Ta'ala's authority. We're challenging Allah Ta'ala's decision making. Allah Ta'ala says that all the people who don't believe, Allah can send them into paradise if He wants. Allah Ta'ala has no restriction upon His decision. Whatever He decides, that's His law. What Allah Ta'ala does is adl. That is justice. And there's no basis here that, Allah said this in the Quran and this will happen, and if I say it, this will happen. No. One thing we should do, that whoever Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to anyone to do amal, even if it's a so-called small deed, then we should run with total energy and passion in everything we do. For example, if Allah Ta'ala gives you an opportunity to do a small service to the deen, run towards that. Grab that action. For example, somebody said to me, that can you tell me the way so I can get to this street and house? So you should direct that person, help that person with a lot of energy and vigor, that Allah's given me this chance to help this person, and maybe this deed will cause my forgiveness on the Day of Judgment. Allah's given me this chance for salvation, that person's come to me from the dunya and asked me for help, and do that action, help him, give him the directions, show him with such passion that the person, he's so energetic. Forget your tahajjud, your salah, your salah in the masjid. If we become like this, I swear by Allah, we'll enjoy our lives. Subhanallah. Make your experience like this. Do this. But if you say, with a broken, why is this person asking me? I'm going to the masjid, I've just been to dhikr and I'm forgiven, and this person has disturbed me on the road, ask me the way. No, this is the challenge within us. We have these categories that we made, but the walis of Allah have said that until the grave we require the shaykh and the teacher to direct us and to clean us and purify us, because nafs and shaitan will not leave us until we get to the grave, and only the sohbat, the company of the shaykh, can teach us to eliminate and wipe away shaitan and nafs. They explain to us, they direct us. So always the nafs will play games with us, shaitan will play games with us. What I've just said now, you might think, oh, what's this? This is not important. Have we ever thought this? Have we ever heard speeches about this subject, about helping people? Have you heard detail or read about this? But this is a very delicate masala. Very delicate masala. That we think, we're forgiven, I'm pious, I pray and I do this and that. But somebody tells me to help them, ask for help, and I don't give help. But on the Day of Judgment, we'll see. I think I'm waiting for my deeds to come, and Allah say, which amal? Where are your deeds? They're gone. Because of the nafs and the shaitan. So this is why tasawwuf, the definition of tasawwuf is this. Tasawwuf, purification of the heart, recognizing the nafs and the pride. Because that's why we go to the majalis. Because we think that we are good. We have our ego, big fat ego. I've done ibadah, I worship other people around me. They don't worship like me, they're sinners. Fair enough. If you have a sheikh, a teacher, and you're pious and you're practicing, fine. But remember, Allah is Qadir and Mutalak. He can forgive for the whole dunya if He wants to. And if He doesn't want to, He can. He cannot forgive anybody. So remember, this is the sunnati ilahi. After practicing every deed, we should understand that it's Allah who accepts. And after every amal, remember, do this one dua. After every worship act you do, Allah, that this deed I did just now, did you like it, Allah? Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, did you like my salah I just prayed? I know what you like, Allah. My Allah, my Rabb, my Lord, my controller, please accept this deed I've just done. Why? Because it's up to Allah. If He likes it, He's going to accept it, isn't it? So whatever deed you do in life, Islamically, whatever you do, say, Allah, did you like what I just did? Allah, for example, you're walking in the street and you do an ibadah. When the night you're sleeping, someone knocks on your door. It's your duty, or someone has, you have money. And different people have different duties. Somebody works in the council, somebody works in an official position. And sometimes the human beings from the society come and knock on your door in the middle of the night. And you're saying, it's 2:30 a.m. Why is he knocking on my door? What am I going to do? I'm scared. For example, somebody comes to your door. He says, look, how can I disturb him? He's an officer. It's 2 o'clock. And then he knocks on our door because he needs help. And we think, I'm going to get up now. I had to get up for tahajjud. And he's knocked on my door and woke me up. Now, what does that person do? Allah Ta'ala is preparing the deed for us to be forgiven. So first, we give an answer. We reject it. Allah Ta'ala has given us an official position 4 or 5 years ago. And you don't know after 4 or 5 years it's going to happen. After 1 year, you might die. And due to this deed, Allah will forgive you. This is our thinking. This is the thinking of a believer. Every deed you get the chance, especially tell people, consider this is my chance to get forgiveness. So someone comes to your house, 2 a.m. He's scared. He walks up tiptoes to your door. He has no other way. Only you can help him. You're sleeping. He doesn't want to knock on your door, but he knocks on your door. He rings on the bell. You come down thinking, who's this? And he's not your friend. He says, brother, please forgive me. I've given you trouble. I've come to your house at 2:30 a.m. Please help me. I've got an issue, problem. Only you can help me. You say, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Please come in. Drink tea, brother. Are you okay? You see him, he's distressed. Ask him in, give him tea, water, go upstairs, do wudu, get ready, fresh, and then get ready to fulfill his deed. Because who are you going to please? That man? No, Allah. When you pray salah, who do you pray to? What do we do first before we pray? What? What do we do? What do we do before praying salah? Wudu. Wudu, don't we? Why? To pray salah. To meet Allah. That's ibadah. So this is also ibadah. The brothers come to your door. First go and do wudu. 2:30 a.m. Do wudu. Purify your body. Your mind. All the sleepiness will go away. Your weariness will go away. Then not for yourself. Pray 2 rakah salah hajj. Not for yourself. For the brother who knocked on your door. To ask for your help. This is Islam. This is Islam. This is the way for bakshish. Forgiveness. 2 rakah salatul hajj. For that man, who am I? I wasn't worthy, capable to help you. And you came to my door. It's my good fortune you came. I'm like a donkey. I'm useless. Allah's karam and mercy that Allah's made me capable and Allah sent you to me. And do dua, Allah, your servants come to me with your fadal. And for your sake, Allah, I will help this person who's come to my door in the middle of the night. Allah, through my efforts, please fulfill his needs. What a great ibadat. And imagine you will heal his broken heart and he will love it. And he's drinking tea and you'll say to him, come on, let's go. I swear by Allah, his problem will be solved and your life and akhirah will be made. Yeah? Don't tell him when you meet him again a few days later, oh, I did this for you, and remind him. No, be happy. And don't say nothing to him. Don't think that he owes you a favor. Don't talk about deen or come to our dhikr gathering or set conditions for him. Whatever he's a sinner. Don't ask him. Say, fine, let's go. Let's go and assist you in your issue. We'll speak later about other things. Don't say, I've got a favor upon your head. And this will be better than thousands of tahajjud salahs. Thousands of tahajjud salahs you will have surpassed in helping this person. Alama Sakhawi rahmatullah alayhi has written an event. And I remember this event now. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahimahullah ta'ala, has narrated this event. And it's written in this event that Bani Israel, there was a man of Bani Israel. And he was like a shaitan. He was a sinner. He used to commit sins in the streets, in the village, in his town. And he passed away. He was so dirty that in the older days people were severe and strict. And that all this love we have nowadays is due to the sadaqah of Rasulullah SAW. The previous ummahs, they were hard-hearted. They didn't have tenderness or gentleness. They used to take revenge straight away. They didn't know about tawbah or repentance. They were very strong and strict and severe. Their manners, their style of tawbah was severe. Their gentleness didn't exist. But the gentleness and calmness and love today is due to Prophet Muhammad SAW. Somebody sins, he says, Allah forgive me. Allah says, I forgive you. But here we have a lottery due to the sadqa of the Prophet SAW. We are lucky, so fortunate when his ummah. At least we should do one thing, that at least practice his sunnah. At least implement his sunnah. At least make a face like him. Wear attire like him. We are so lucky. We're the luckiest people in the history of mankind. Allah has given us rahmah and mercies. He's detached us from mankind. We make a fuss. We take it on sometimes. We take it off. We appear like him sometimes. We don't. We should be ashamed. We should be ashamed. We speak rubbish when we oppose the sunnah. Once you've worn the attire of the sunnah, why do you discard it? Don't you feel ashamed? What answer will you give to Rasulullah SAW? What answer will you give to Allah? Such a great personality, the greatest human being ever. Allah Ta'ala, sometimes you put imam on, sometimes you take imam off, sometimes you grow your beard, sometimes you shorten your beard. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. You are challenging the Prophet SAW? You are challenging the deen? Such a great Nabi, the greatest Prophet. Imagine the all of the ummahs, if you put to one side, Allah Ta'ala detached the ummah of Rasulullah and said, you are the greatest and your ummah is the greatest and your law is with this rahmah upon rahmah, mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. What answer will I give? Will you give to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? For discarding sunnah, how severe will it be on the day of judgment? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, that we challenge his sunnah, we criticize his sunnah, we neglect his sunnah, we look down at his sunnah. Is this not wrong? Anyway, so this man in Bani Israel, he passed away, he died, he was a sinner. They grabbed him and threw him onto the street, said, throw him into the field, let the dogs and cats eat him. Look at our Sharia. Even in the most sinful person in the world has to be given ghusl, he has to be given the kafan, the sheet with the kafur, the fragrance, and yes, we announced his janazah salah, praise in Azala and take him to the graveyard, even if he's the worst sinner, because our aqeedah, even if he was a sinner, but he was a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. So we have to treat him fairly. What a big difference. What a big difference. Look at this. And we play with this on our women, our men. Look at our lifestyles. Sharia, parda, parda, Allah Ta'ala's deen and the sunnah of Rasulullah, we leave it and our conditions, they degrade in the world and they go downhill and then we complain because we know we have left the deen. So anyway, the sinner from Bani Israel, he was thrown in the field and they thought the dogs will come, the cats will come, the birds will come, they'll devour his flesh, he's a sinner. This was the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. This was Sharia Musawi. And mashallah, the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he also had a high rank and status. So many waqiyats and events are mentioned in the Quran about Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He wasn't a low status Nabi. He was a great, great prophet. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to discuss things with Allah, and he was a beloved Nabi of Allah, and he was beloved to Allah and close to Allah. So this was in his age, in his generation, his Sharia. So then wahi came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Allah said, Musa, that in a certain place, people have thrown the dead body of a man. And Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, what is he like? Allah said that the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously he was a sinner. So Musa alayhi salam knew he was a sinner. That he was a sinner, he was sinful, and he's been thrown in the maidan, in the field. Allah ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam. Allah gave Sharia. So now it's been explained to his Nabi that you do something on Musa. Musa alayhi salam said, what, Allah? Allah said, pick up his body and bathe him and wrap his body with the cloth and then pray the janaza and bury him. And this was shown to the whole of the mankind that time. This is the sunnat ilahi. The Allah, what he wants, that happens, not what we think, that he's a sinner, he's dirty, he's impure, leave him in the street, let the animals eat him. No. Don't discard the sinful person. Don't reject the sinful person. Don't look down at the sinful person. Subhanallah. So this came, the hukam from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, up high. So Musa alayhi salam thought, I'll speak to Allah after. First let me implement the order of Allah. Then I'll ask Allah, what's the hikmah behind this? What's the wisdom behind this that you are saying I should do this, and this person who died, who was a sinful person, we should treat him like this? So Musa alayhi salam, he had the instruction, he went, he took the dead body, he bathed him, clothed him, put the cloth around him, put the fragrance on, and the Nabi is praying and leading the janazah. So I imagine the Nabi, the Prophet, not a Maulvi, not an Imam. Yeah, even in those days there were imams, but Hazrat Musa alayhi salam led the janazah salah and buried him. And here you will realize what will be the hal of that sinful person who died. That will he not be forgiven? That in the janazah, if there's a wali of Allah, if there's a wali in the janazah, that person's forgiven. And then the call is made, come everyone, come to the janazah. Who knows who's the wali in the janazah? And if a wali of Allah comes to the jamaat in the janazah, then that person's forgiven. Allah Ta'ala loves that his beloved is in the janazah. And here the Mahbub, the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, he's leading janazah salah. What do you think about that dead person then? That's why we say that the walis of Allah, they have a good effect. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam buried him. Then when he was free, he said, Allah, what is the masala with this person? What happened with this person? He was sinful, extreme, and you made me bathe him, prepare him, and praise janazah salah. What happened? And people knew he was sinful. And Allah said, let me tell you the story, Musa. Allah said, what happened was that he was a sinner, and he was from Bani Israel, your generation, your people. What did he used to do? That he was reading the Torah, like we read the Quran. So Allah said, he was reading the Torah, and while he was reading the Torah, the name of my Mahbub came, Allahu Akbar. The name of my Mahbub, our Prophet. Yeah, so this is the man from Bani Israel, he's reading, and the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, when my name of my Mahbub came, then he didn't bypass it. He said the name and he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He read durood once. Allah said that I love this action so much. So imagine this. Imagine Allah Ta'ala saying, I love this action so much. I forgot everything about his sins. I forgave him for everything, and I forgave him. And he attained salvation, and I made you, my Nabi, read his janazah salah for that action. So this is a big lesson for us. Big lesson for us. This is all about Allah's preference, how to please Allah. What do we know? What action of ours can please Allah? So never think that, oh, I'm useless, I'm a sinner, maybe Allah doesn't want this. Oh, let's forget these deeds, these aren't important. No. If you're sending darood upon the beloved of Allah, Rasulullah says, and this is the beloved of Allah, and that darood reaches, tell me, Ajib Gareeb. I remember a story about Darood Sharif. Hazrat Shireen Rahmatullah wrote about this. The Alama Shibli, Rahmatullah, Hazrat Shibli, Rahmatullah, great wali of Allah, passed away, and he narrated this event. And he said that there was an individual who passed away. There was an individual who passed away. And he saw in the dream, the person who passed away, another wali saw him in the dream. What happened to you? What happened when you were lowered into the grave and you went into the qabr? And he said, whoa, sort of weird thing happened. I was lowered into the grave And in the grave, Munkar and Nakir came, the angels, to pick me up. And Munkar and Nakir came, and they started to ask me, they were like angry. I saw their form, and they asked me a question. And they said, the three questions, Man Rabbukum, Man Rasulukum, Man Deenukum. The three questions we will all be asked. And he said, I was trying to give the answer, my tongue wasn't moving. Look at this. Who doesn't know the answer today? If I say to you, who's your Allah? This little kid will say, Allah. If I say Man Rabbukum, if I say Man Rasulukum, will you not tell me that my Rasul is Muhammad? So where did the tongue go? Then he said, when the tongue, I tried to say the answers, but it couldn't come out. I couldn't speak. The tongue was moving. May Allah forgive. Listen to this carefully, brothers. This is haqiqat, reality of the grave. So when we go down, the different world will come. Not this world, we'll forget everything and only will remember that what we earned in the grave. How will you say from the tip of your tongue that Allah's Nabi, Prophet Muhammad was my Rasul? All our lives we killed his sunnah. We criticized his sunnah. We smirked at his sunnah. We laughed at his sunnah. We joked at his sunnah. Allah Ta'ala says that this is not my law, that if you do so many sins, I'll grab you. That rust will come in the grave. And that's where we realize in the first question, Allah will say, tell me, who is this man that you can see? In the hadith it stated, when this question is asked, Man Rasulukum, this is for the special people, it will be asked, who's your Rasul? The people have written, the narrators have written, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that all the gap between the grave to the rawdah will be cleared, and you will see the rawdah, and Allah will say, who is this person? Subhanallah, the Ashikin say, we are waiting for death, we want to see this scene. Subhanallah. The Ashikin say this, that we are waiting for this scene, that we are asked, Man Rasulukum, in our qabr, the space opens up to the Rawdah Mubarak, and we can answer. So there the person's tongue cannot answer? Why? So he said, I started to think that I have died on Islam. I lived as a Muslim, I died as a Muslim, and I said I was a Muslim in the world. So why can't I answer these questions? Why can't I move my tongue? Why can't I say Muhammad? So he said to the angels, that I lived as a Muslim, I died as a Muslim, you're asking me for the questions, I can't answer the questions. The angels became strict. They said, we know you lived as a Muslim, you died as a Muslim, but this punishment is for what? That you weren't careful with your tongue in the world. You waggled your tongue too much. You weren't cautious. And is this not a big sin for us? Tell me the truth, brothers. I ask you today, with your iman, tell me, is this a sin for us today? That we speak rubbish from our mouths, we swear, we talk futile talk, we swear at people, we have such noor on our faces and we swear, the sister, the mother, the brother, the wife, the daughter-in-law, who am I speaking rubbish in front of them? In some families, there's so much swearing, the eldest in the family swears. If you bring a child, he'll swear, come here, and he swear at the children. Astaghfirullah. Imagine. So many things I could say, but your tongue, the angel will say to him, you were not careful. Such a big punishment. He's died. He had iman. He died as a Muslim, but he doesn't have Islam in the grave. He doesn't have it. Why? I'm pious, I pray, and I do big ibadat, and I'll say I'm this and I'm that. God knows. So where's this gone now, this deed? Where's your tongue gone? Have you ever thought about your tongue? That how we should control it, use it properly, positively, don't talk rubbish, nonsense. Do dhikr if you have nothing better to say. Why speak about others, gossip mongering, malicious rumors, backbiting, swearing at people, futile talk, waste of time talk, no benefit of the akhirah. Big sin at that time in the grave. Big punishment. Big punishment. He said, I understood. Then I went cool. That's it. I'm finished. My salah's gone. My prayer, my Quran, everything's flown away on this sin. Small sin, small good deed. Remember, that person read Durood from Bani Israel. He was a sinner and Allah forgave him. One man, Muslim, all his life went with all his deeds in the grave. But one sin he did from his tongue and he thought it's nothing. He said, no, nothing will happen to me. And Allah said that he was not saved in the grave. So tell me, how careful should we be? So, he said, then I came, I thought, oh, that's it, I'm finished now. Then what did I see? That a beautiful man suddenly came between me and the angels in the grave. And the azab was about to come, they were about to beat me with the sticks, the angels in the grave, because I couldn't answer the question. Suddenly, this beautiful man came. Beautiful appearance. When he came, he said, ask him now. To the angels, ask him now, he'll give the answer. The angels were shocked. Who is this man? Suddenly he's come into the grave, jumped in. Beautiful, handsome, nice looking. And he said, I'm looking at him as well. The man in the grave is saying, this is a story. As a Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah, has narrated this as well. So he said that when they asked me again, then I started to give the answer. I couldn't before, and I gave the answer. They're asking me, and I'm answering, and I passed all the questions, the three questions, I passed them. And then the angels released me, and I was successful. I passed, I won. That's it. Then they went, the angels, and then they went to tell Allah that he's given the answer. He's passed. So then this man who was in the grave, he said to that man, the handsome man, that brother, "You're so handsome and nice and haleem and gentle and beautiful, and you helped me, assisted me. Who are you that you've saved me in the grave? How did you come into my grave to save me from the angels? How did you save me? And tell me the answers. Who are you?" And then he will say, "You've forgotten me. Maybe you don't have importance about me or remember me, but I am your Darood Sharif that you used to recite in the world, and I used to become the form of the Darood, and today I've come to help you in the grave." So brothers, Darood is Darood so powerful as an assistant. So the objective of what I'm saying, my brothers, is that no one's big, no one's got big amal, no one is forgiven here, no one's guaranteed. Allah, His law, it's up to Allah who He saves, forgives, and who He punishes. The third point, that you should worry about yourself as well. That what condition am I in? Always worry about yourself, your condition, your deeds, your iman. Never consider a deed small. Every deed is massive and big and will give us forgiveness. Look, Durood Sharif. Is it fard? No. But in our eyes, we say, "Oh, Durood, I ain't got time for this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ain't got time for this." But when you say it once, look at the value. Look, you can measure the value. Because Allah loves this action. What's the main thing? Whatever Allah Ta'ala likes, that's a massive action. That will give success. If you pray salah all day, all life long, and Allah's loved one salah in your life, it will give you the forgiveness. You can do khatam of so many Qurans. And if one of those verses you read in a beautiful way and Allah likes it, then everything's accepted. It's down to Allah Ta'ala's preference. Everything you prayed, you worshipped, and you won't see it in the raft. Where's my Quran, my prayer? Because Allah Ta'ala didn't like it. So it's dependent on Allah's preference. And if you experience this, that I have got this experience, that sometimes it happens that a person is reading an ayah or reading a dua, and this happens, that in that dua there's so much enjoyment in that dua that it feels like you just want to keep on doing the dua and keep on asking from Allah. So understand straight away that Allah Ta'ala likes what you're doing. Because when you're doing the dua, when you're doing the dua, you keep on wanting to do the dua. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala likes it. He's pulling you closer towards Him. So fall into sajda. Maybe you've read the ayah many times in the Quran. Many times you can note it that you've passed through this verse. But sometimes it happens that you stop someone, you keep on reciting that verse or that dua, and you feel enjoyment and the taste, and it don't feel like you don't want to practice. Or if you're doing dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, repeatedly, repetitively, you keep on doing that dua and the tears come out. You start shrieking and crying, and you're on your own in isolation, or you're reading salah, and it's a very common dua. But understand that this moment in time, this dua is going towards acceptance. Allah Ta'ala likes it what I'm doing. That's why this condition and emotions come over me. And sometimes if you're reading verses or duas or different things or kitabs, and you don't know what you've read, and you just wipe your hand on your face and you leave, because maybe you're not close to Allah at that time. But if you say, "Oh, I'd read tahajjud today, the lights are off, it's darkness," and you think you did long sujoods, but you can't even remember what you did. But sometimes it's one dua you're reciting, and all night long you just keep on doing that one dua. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And the reason for this that we understand is that one verse all night long he would recite, and the sahaba, they would have the enjoyment of that one verse, because Allah Ta'ala gave them the connection through that one verse. They attained the connection and they loved it, just repeating it. So when we do something commonly, regularly, then don't leave that action. If you keep getting the connection with Allah and keep taking the enjoyment, because you've got the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that means and that practice. Sometimes in dhikr this happens. For example, we recite kalama, different kalama. Sometimes a kalama comes that you stop on that kalama. You keep repeating the kalama. You don't feel like leaving that kalama. We keep repeating it and reciting it, and you keep reading it and reading it and repeating it. And this is where the connection is made with Allah, because Allah ta'ala instills the love and the connection in that practice. So it's Allah's preference. We need to decrease our preference and increase and look at Allah's preference. We don't know what Allah likes. If Allah likes our action of giving water to someone, or giving somebody medicine, or to heal a broken heart, somebody is distressed and you counsel him or coach him or give love to somebody, maybe Allah likes these deeds. We don't know. Every opportunity you get to do a deed in your life, that's the biggest and most massive deed. Don't think it's small. And maybe this deed will give me salvation and forgiveness, and everything else maybe will go to waste. May Allah Ta'ala give us the life of caution, appreciation, the few days of life that are left. Let's be careful. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.